to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But until this very moment, you have not listened.
And Matthew 4, 8 to 10. It's not in the message. Matthew 4, 8 to 10. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him,
go away, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.
The next verse is Joshua 24, 15.
And even if it seems wrong in your sight to serve Jehovah, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, either the God from across the river, whom your fathers served, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah.
Amen. So from this Bible verses we see, actually, this is a struggle between this universe. God and Satan, they are seeking men to worship them. So, we should, actually, like Joshua made a choice. We need to make a choice. But to serve God or serve the devil.
Right.
And in this message, our brother proposed out in a question. So, he asked, you have been saved, but are you serving God? So actually for us, just to be saved is not enough. We must serve God. So if we are saved but not serve God, actually our salvation is not complete. And we are saved for a purpose, that is to worship God. Amen.
Amen.
How about we read through Romans 1:2-8 together.
Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. Let my people go, that they may hold the peace to me in the wilderness. Let us go and sacrifice to Jehovah. The purpose of God's calling is to bring His chosen people to the mountain, where they may serve Him and sacrifice to Him. We must serve God according to the vision of God and of the pattern shown on the mountain. The blood of the covenant enables the believers to serve the living God. The basis of our service is God has fire from heaven. The Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt in order to make them a kingdom of priests, a kingdom in which everyone would be a priest. One who serves God continually. God's building is the desire of God's heart and the goal of His salvation.
Amen. So, when Moses brought the people of Israel out of Egypt, God demanded that the people of Israel are not only to be saved, they're not merely to go out of Egypt, they need to serve Him.
Right.
They need to serve him in the wilderness.
Amen.
And here we see, to serve God, we need to come to the right place. We need to come to the wilderness. In the wilderness, there's nothing but God. And the wilderness signifies a realm of separation. In His dealing with Pharaoh, God demands such a separation for His people.
Amen.
So, we need to be separated. If we are not separated, but instead we remain in Egypt, we cannot serve the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And also, in the second point, we see that to serve God is not according to our natural understanding. When they think that to serve God is to do some holy work for the Lord, actually it's not. To serve the Lord is to hold a feast on Him and make a sacrifice to Him. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, and also in point 3 we see the purpose of God's calling is to bring His chosen people to the mountain.
Amen.
It's not merely to bring the people out of Egypt.
Right.
Even not merely to bring them to the wilderness, but bring them further.
Right.
Lead them onto the mountain.
Right.
In the mountain we see the vision, and we see the pattern of the building. Amen.
Amen.
So, I think our brother in this message, he has a burden to, we need to come to the Lord to pray that the Lord may lead us on. Lead us on to the mountain. And in the Exodus, we see the majority of the people of Israel, they are on the base of the mountain. But some of them, among them, they are in the mountain. And they receive the vision. And also, in point 4, we see that we should not serve God according to our own strength. We need to see the vision first. So if we do not receive the vision first, we serve the Lord according to our own understanding, then our service is in vain. And also, our brother, at a burden this message, he asked us to come to the Lord to spend time with the Lord. And if we are serious about seeing God and the details of His economy, we cannot escape the need to spend time with Him.
Amen.
And actually, this is a battle. This is a battle for our time.
Yeah.
So, to me, we really need to come to the Lord to spend time with Him.
Amen.
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 And also, the blood of covenant enables us to serve the living God. It's not what we are doing something good, but the blood enables us. The blood has made it possible for us to come to the Lord to serve Him.
Amen.
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 And we should see that the basis of our service is God as fire from the heaven. So we shouldn't rely on ourselves. We need to take the Lord as our source. Rely on the Lord.
Amen.
We should trust in Him.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And also we see that the Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt in order to make them a kingdom of priests. A kingdom in which everyone would be a priest.
Right.
Or who serves God continually.
Amen.
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 So to serve God as priest is to mean surprise to Him.
Yes.
As good for His satisfaction.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And also God's building is a desire of God's heart and the goal of His salvation.
Amen.
So praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we will really see that to be merely saved is not enough.
Right.
We are saved for a purpose.
Yeah.
To serve God, to worship God. And may we all, like Joshua made the choice, to serve God.
Yeah.
We may also serve God alone.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
How about, like usual, if we can get someone at the piano in just 2 minutes, encourage as many people to share. And it doesn't have to be on this book in particular. It can be anything you've enjoyed from maybe your Bible reading. I know Caution's been reading John, so we just finished recently. So anything that you enjoy from that, or maybe any experiences throughout your week. So please share with us.
Thank you. is actually in danger. It says in Exodus 25, "And let them make a sanctuary for me that I may dwell in their midst. According to all that I show you, the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, even so shall you make it." And I like this point because on the topic of serving God, it shows us that actually, here it says, where did it go? Well, I don't know where it went, but basically it talks about how when it comes to serving the Lord, we need to serve by a vision or a revelation of what God has already ordained, right? Like the children of Israel, if they wanted to build a tent of meeting, the tabernacle or the temple, they couldn't just build it appointed however they thought was the best kind of building to worship God. What kind of building would look prettiest? What, oh, this kind of spacing, this kind of dimensions, this kind of material. But they built it according to the pattern that was shown to Moses on the mountain. And I enjoyed that. It said, even according to all that I show you, the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings. And so that shows us that when God, when we want to serve God, a lot of times we serve according to what we think is best, what God needs, what His church needs, what we think will look the best or get the best response. But actually, we need to serve according to a vision. And we're fellowshipping, some of us are fellowshipping over this point, and sometimes I feel like the flip side of this is sometimes we think like, oh, well, I need to wait until I see the full vision before I can serve. But that day will be very many years after this, and we probably won't be, well, it'll just stall us from actually serving the Lord. So I think one of the things to realize is that we serve according to the vision that we have seen. However much the Lord has shown us, we just serve according to that. And actually by following what He has already shown us allows the Lord to show us even more concerning Himself and even more concerning His church.
Amen. I'll follow our sister.
Amen.
I like this point also. So this week, if we say the word serve the Lord, we have to understand what the vision, what the revelation means. So in Exodus 5, there's verse 1, it says, hold a feast.
Amen.
So we have to equate serving with hold a feast.
Right. Amen.
So we need to have Christ to offer to God.
Yeah.
So we need to enjoy the Lord.
That's right. That's
very
right.
Simple. We need to eat the Lord. We need to enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
And we can offer the Lord.
Yes.
We can serve Him. We can. There's also the word sacrifice.
Right.
There's also the word worship.
Yes.
So when we say serve the Lord, we mean hold a feast.
Amen.
We mean a sacrifice. We mean offer Christ. And we mean, this is our worship to God. And our worship is in truth. It's in truth and sincerity in John 4:24. So we need to have Christ in our very experience. He needs to be the very truth in us, the very sincerity in us. Anyway, I enjoyed that we need to, this is the revelation. We serve according to the revelation of God, and we serve according to the revelation of the pattern of His desire, which is the building. So we need to know that we need to see the vision, and then also when we see this vision of who God is, this means how we need to be, our living needs to be. So it's very practical. So serve means hold. So we need to enjoy the Lord.
Amen. 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 Yes, enjoy the Lord.
It said, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And then at the second point, it said, Pharaoh signifies not only Satan, but also the self and the natural man. Our natural mind, will, or emotion may be a Pharaoh who rebels against God or who binds something with him. So a lot of times, I think when I read it, I was so touched because it said, he said, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. Once I started my graduate school, I was like, I think my vote, it was like every day I was in my study. I was like, may you let me go out of the study so that I will serve you.
Amen.
Like during John, a lot of time when we read it, it was like, there was a chapter, like, I think the thing people coming out was like, I do not seek my own glory.
Right.
I seek the glory of my Father.
Amen.
Like, I think when I was reading it, I was really touched because I think I am seeking my own glory. It's like, like, so you, there's no, it's like you can study how much you want. So you want to get a, you could just get a pass, you know, you just need to be at the average, so you get a pass. Or you could just go for an A. If you go for an A, then pretty much every day, every time, you just need to study. So I was like, I'm seeking my own glory because I want to get an A instead of just a pass. So I was like, Lord, may you bring me out of my study, that I will see your need, see the church need, that I will be able to serve you, that your presence will come with me. In the result of the priestly life will be, that his presence will be with us, and we will just eat and drink of him and behold his glory.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
We see that Moses went to Pharaoh to ask him to release the people to go and feast with the Lord,
right.
Sacrifice to the Lord, which feast is a time of resting with the Lord. But we see that when he went directly to Pharaoh, sent by the Lord, that Pharaoh, he said, who is God? You know, he denied God. He denied the Lord. And he said, who is he? And why should I worship? You know, why should I let the people go? And so we see that he began to resist Moses, to resist the Lord. And so eventually, the second stage, he began to bargain. You know, the Lord sent a plague, and he sent, and then he bargained. And he said, okay, you can worship your God, but you can worship him right here in the land. You don't have to go anywhere.
Right.
So we see that the next stage said, and then the Lord sent a plague. Because God doesn't, you know, when we start, this represents our bargaining with the Lord.
Yeah.
And the Lord doesn't listen to our reasonings. He just quietly sends a plague. He sends a situation, an illness or something. And then we come back to the Lord and he says, okay, you can worship your God, but don't go too far away. You know, means, you know, we need to be balanced, you know. Don't go to an extreme. You can worship your God, but, you know, remember, don't be too fanatic. And then the next stage, he goes in, okay, but you need to leave your young and your old, because, you know, if they left the people that they love, their hearts would betray them, and then they would go back. And the next one, okay, you can leave, you know, but leave your herds and your flocks, but they needed this to survive. And we see that this is our situation with the Lord. We bargain with the Lord all the time.
Yeah.
Because we want to play out to see what can I keep from Egypt?
Yeah.
You know, what can I keep? You know, can I still worship the Lord? But, you know, I can keep this on the side. But the Lord, he, you know, sometimes the Lord, you know, he's patient.
Yeah.
He waits for years and years and years waiting for us to submit to him. But he won't. He'll just quietly send us another plague. You know, eventually, God is insistent, and we know that by the tenth time, he sent the plague of the firstborn. Because he will subdue us, because the Lord will gain his dwelling place. But we're going to resist him. And even it applies to us. Sometimes the Lord sends us out. He sends us out to preach the gospel. And, you know, to do these things. And we go do them. And then what happens? You know, the Pharaoh, you know, sends, he says, okay, you know, he makes everything more difficult. And then what he does, nobody wants to come, you know, our preaching the gospel is unsuccessful, people are now against us, and now the situation is worse off than it was, and then, God, you sent me to these people, we were supposed to be successful, we were supposed to gain all these people, but now it's worse, all the people are leaving, now we have less people than before. Because that means, you know, I really enjoy this, that most of us, we hesitate, we bargain with the Lord, but when our bargaining is over, God, you know, God exercises his dominion. But when this is happening, it's because God is about to deliver us. You know, he's just about to do it. But we're, you know, that means that God is working on our behalf, but we have to continue in faith, knowing that eventually God will have what he desires.
Amen.
Amen.
experiences, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And I really touched in a way that the wilderness denotes that, you know, a separation, right? A realm of separation. Mm-hmm. In his dealing with Pharaoh, God named it such a separation for his people. I just came back from Germany. I was there for 3 weeks, and I just for a fun trip to visit my sister. And also went to Czech Republic. And, you know, I haven't been there for about 12, 13 years, but, you know, we went to visit so many, you know, those huge cathedrals, those beautiful architecture, you know, palace, but, you know, both countries, they're just, you know, a lot of us, like, they're famous, you know, like, some of them. Cathedral, really over 2,000 years old. But, you know, just sharing with all this morning, you know, like, so although it's beautiful and everything, but it's one thing in common, you know. You go in, it's completely dead. There's no life, there's no, you know, it's just so dead. And I just feel, you know, every time I walk in, you know, those places, I'm like, Lord, thank you, you know. I'm gonna serve you in this dead place, Lord. You know, you saved us so we can serve you. But you know, and one way also, I'm touched that, you know, the Pharaoh signify, okay, the world. Also, in another hand, it's also signify our natural, you know, our flesh, our, you know, our the old man. I think it's a little bit easier to, you know, like we know, okay, this world, the Pharaoh is the world. But I think a lot of times it's harder, for me at least, you know, okay, my natural, you know, like we all love the Lord, we know we need to serve the Lord. But sometimes, you know, we like our own way of thinking and stuff. But, you know, praise the Lord, when the Lord saved us so we can serve Him, but it's according to what He showed us. On the mountain. We really have to have this vision so we can come and serve Him according to His heart's desire.
This week we are on week 39. That means we have 38 message before on this life, the crystallization study of Exodus.
Yeah.
And if we read these eight Roman numerals, you see actually every point we have already seen it before, right? But this time, the brothers put this 8 point together, right, and from the perspective of serving God,
yeah,
right? And I think, to me, at least, I think there's a reason I need to come to this message again, because we, as believers, we have many, many misconceptions regarding serving God. At least these eight misconceptions, right? Because we don't know, you know, when we serve God, we need to have a separation,
yeah,
right? We think that we can serve God and we serve Satan also, or serve the money, serve the world. So we need to have a separation. And also, we don't know that serving God is to hold a feast on Him. And this feast is to enjoy Him, right? This feast, this lane, this we are feasting on actually is a type of Christ.
Right.
To serve God actually is to enjoy Christ.
Yeah.
So we can, you know, serve God.
Yeah.
So there's many, and we don't know, you know, we in order to serve Him, we actually need to receive revelation regarding God Himself,
right,
and regarding the church, His dwelling place. And also we need to, if we want to serve God, we need to serve according to vision and the pattern, right? The pattern shown on the mountain. And what I really enjoy most is this Roman numeral 5. It says the blood of covenant enabled the believer to serve the living God.
Amen.
You know, what
Amen.
Think you think, what qualifies us to serve the living God? You know, we will think, maybe I need to read how many times the Bible. I need to get some kind of training, right? Go to the Bible school,
right.
Or we need to have some gift,
right?
But what enables us to serve God,
yeah,
actually is His blood.
That's
so all we have been cleansed by His blood.
Amen.
So we all are qualified to serve
Amen.
Him.
Yeah.
And the base for our service, God Himself as fire, right, is not our nature of being.
Right.
So although we can all serve God, but we need to see this service not from ourselves.
Right.
And seven is also the one I enjoy most, that we serve God. We are a kingdom of priests. So everyone need to serve Him continuously. So it's everyone and continuous touching me most. And the last, of course, when we serve God, we need to know what's His heart desire, what's His goal. That's God's beauty.
Amen.
When we serve, we are not serving for our glory. We are not all either serving for any other purpose. When we serve here, it's to build up His church.
A few years ago, I had the burden of sharing with the young people in Franklin regarding their future. So there was a time where I keep sharing concerning the vision that they need to have, and try to come out with their own vision, how they are going to live in the future, which college to select and so forth. But later I realized that there are some who can do it, there are others who cannot. And those, there are also many that can do it, but then it still needs some application. What I realized over a period of time, especially recently, this year actually, that the matter of vision is one thing. The matter of revelation is another thing. Right? The difference between vision and revelation is that in revelation, it requires some unveiling.
Yeah.
If you don't have that unveiling, you won't see the vision. Right? We know that Paul, Apostle Paul, when he was on the way to Damascus, he saw a direct light from God. That is a vision that given to him by God. But many of us requires unveiling during our daily living. So this portion, the reason why I share this is because day three. Actually, I'll just read a portion of it. It started with saying, because God is holy, righteous, and loving, His people should live a life characterized by holiness, righteousness, and love. Then it goes on, then it says, His people must live a life that corresponds to the detailed attributes of God. This is the secret to receive that unveiling. We cannot have revelation unless we are one with God.
Amen.
Loving, holy, righteousness, these are all the attributes of God. And we need to match that. How do we match it? By living Christ, right? People must live a life that corresponds to the detailed attributes of God. No matter how we try, we know that. And no matter how we try, we cannot. We're going to fall short. We can try to figure out a way, but it's not God's way. That's another problem. It becomes our way. That is why the only answer, the only way to reach, to see, to do God's, to worship God, to serve God, is really through Christ. Nothing else, and by enjoying Him.
In the window training, our brother shared with us in this message two words, dispensational worship. God's heart desire is always on His building, and we know that in the New Testament, all of the believers are His covenanted land, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And then in John 17, our Lord prayed before He left the world is that we will, by this Spirit, we will be built up together as one. And in this message, it reminded me so much that we have our study, we have our work in our life. It does not necessarily mean that we do things apart from Him.
do work and study, we are actually allowing him to build up the character in his human virtues that we could actually express him in everything we do.
Amen.
So I was very, very impressed that our brother mentioned about the dispensational worship. It is through our work and our study that we know how much we need him in order to express him in our life. And that is the purpose of God who desires his building, which is every one of us. In him that we do everything.
Amen.
And through our working and through our living that we express him, and then we come together to a meeting to enjoy him together corporately. So the building is not only physical, it's only for God to be expressed, but through us, he will be lived out. And by our living out, we could supply life to others, and even attract them, just like our Lord attracts the people who follow him. So I was very touched by this message that reminded us again that this building in the Old Testament is the portray. It is the pattern. But for us in the New Testament, we are his testimony. We are his building because this building is not only physical, it is living and it is growing.
Amen. Amen.
I appreciated Romans 7, and we see that the Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt in order to make them a kingdom of priests. And I appreciate seeing, you know, we're all priests, you know, according to our concept. Maybe we think priests, we think something in the Catholic Church, right? But actually, what the Bible reveals is that God desires all his people to become priests to him. And what does it mean to serve God as a priest? I appreciated in this outline that says we should be serving God in whatever we are doing. And I think we were listening to the message a little bit last night, and I was just in and out, but I just went in whatever we're doing. Sometimes we might have the concept, I'll serve the Lord when I come to the meeting or when we go out on the gospel. But actually, whatever we do should be a service to God, right? In Romans 1:9, it says, whom I serve in my spirit. So we serve God by being in our spirit. And we serve God by enjoying God in Christ, through Christ, as the reality of the offerings. So in Exodus 29, we see that the priests, they had to be sanctified in order to serve God, right? And so in this process of sanctification, they were clothed in a certain way, they had a certain diet, and they had to do something in a certain way. And all of that is simply a picture of enjoying Christ. I just appreciate it. You know, we have to learn to put on Christ every morning when we wake up, as we go throughout the day, and even our diet should be one full of Christ, right? And then in the message, regarding this dispensational worship, I think the brother mentioned something. We cannot contact and we cannot worship the Lord through our iPhones, and I just appreciated that reminder. You know, we need to contact the Lord, right? As we contact the Lord day by day, and we eat Christ, enjoy Christ, that becomes our service to God. And then I appreciate it at the end of Exodus 29, we see the result of that priestly life is actually that God comes to meet with us, eat with us, speak with us, and dwell among us. That's what God desires to do: speak, meet, eat, and dwell with us. And how does that happen? Is when we all, as a kingdom of priests, enjoy Him and serve Him. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. I don't really know what to say, but I enjoy that. I enjoy this part in day two. It says, "The more we feast, the more enjoyment he has, and the happier he is. However, the more we endeavor to do things, the more displeased he becomes, for our endeavors do not give him any enjoyment." So I was just really touched that. In Exodus in Exodus 7 and 5, the Lord was trying to tell Pharaoh to let his people go, just so that they can be separated from his usurping hand, and so that they may hold a feast to him in the wilderness. So just like our Lord Jesus, he went through the processes, he went through everything, just so that we could serve him. But maybe, well, to me, my concept was that since the Lord has done so much for me, I should do so much for him too. So as a result, it's my own endeavors and not him as my source. So actually, like, a lot of times when I'm serving the young people or serving the piano or serving whatever, I'm always thinking, okay, is this my own endeavor or is this the Lord serving? So I just enjoy that the Lord does not want us to do anything. He just wants us to feast on him. And it's not feasting on him only, but it's to feast to him. So that means we feast with him and to him. So, and he is our feast. So I thank the Lord that we don't need to do anything. We just come to him and we just enjoy him as our real feast.
In Revelation 22:3, this is the end of the Bible concerning New Jerusalem. It says that the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his slaves will serve him. That means for eternity, what are we going to do? We're going to be serving God. And I appreciate it, actually, just from all the sharing, you know, the reason why we were delivered from Exodus, the reason that we were saved, right, as all the saints have shared, is that we would serve him. And, you know, Moses 7 times pleaded with Pharaoh, let my people go, that they would serve me. And so we see that today, what does it mean to serve God? I really appreciated, again, this matter of dispensational worship. And actually, you know, and you see this from this matter of holding a feast to Jehovah, and also this matter of sacrificing to Jehovah. And these two items are in parallel. With us, right, it is to hold a feast. It is to enjoy. It is to eat and drink. But to God, his people are making a sacrifice. And this is something that satisfies God. So we are satisfied, and God is satisfied. And I really appreciate the example in John 4. You see this picture, the Samaritan woman. What did she do? She drank the living water. And at the end, you see that she left her water pot, and she went into the city, and she asked, come and see. Come see a man, right? Who satisfied me, gave me living water that I no longer will thirst. And then when the disciples came back, the disciples were worried. You know, he hasn't eaten anything. But the Lord replied in such a wonderful way, right? My food is to do the will of the Father. So there in that story, you see man being satisfied and God being satisfied. This is dispensational worship. When we worship God in a way, right, with the riches that he has deposited in us,
amen,
then God is satisfied, amen, and we are satisfied.
Amen.
So, hallelujah for another week,
amen,
where we could enjoy the Lord, where we could sacrifice to him, and where we could really render him the true worship.
Amen.
I just want to follow that because
Brother
Shepherd shared the passage with the Samaritan woman. You know, how the Samaritan, when the Lord talked to her about worship, you know, she explained it in the way of religious worship. You know, but then he said to her, it says, but an hour is coming, and it is now, that when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truthfulness. And then it goes on the second verse, which says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truthfulness. That's really touching. This is the real worship the virtues that all the saints share in there is really in our spirit. And the peace is in our spirit, the enjoyment is in our spirit, and as we touch this sister shared, they're in our daily living, whether we're at school, whether we're at work, and we all have different scenarios. And we can be worshiping, we can be serving.
Amen.
How are you in spirit?
Amen.
The priesthood is crucial because the enjoyment and expression of God depends on the priesthood. Furthermore, the building of God as the dwelling place of God is the priesthood. I just really enjoyed this week seeing that as we serve God, as we worship God, as priests, you know, something is being produced. God's goal is on the building, right? It's our desire. So I never had this appreciation of 1 Peter 2:5. So it says, 1 Peter, right? It says, as living stones being built together, built up as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Throughout of our spiritual sacrifices, you know, acceptable to God. So our service as priests, first of all, is not individual, right? It's corporate. And right. This corporate priesthood produces the building.
Right.
Right? And this building is where God will dwell,
yeah,
and where God will find his rest.
Amen.
This is the ultimate goal of God when he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. So they will serve him. And then produce a kingdom of priests.
Amen.
Not as individuals, but corporately serving God as God's dwelling place. So anyways, I just enjoyed this point, and I just want to finish reading. In the New Testament, 1 Peter 2, we see the house of God is the priesthood composed of all the priests. Therefore, every priest is an item of the material for the building of the house.
Yeah.
When a priest is mingled with God, spontaneously he becomes a part of the house of God. The central thought of Exodus is that Christ is the redemption, salvation, and supply of God's people, and the means for them to worship and serve God, so that in him they may be built up with God,
right,
together for them, and God to meet, communicate, and dwell mutually.
Amen.
So, praise the Lord for God's dwelling.
Amen.
As we serve God, as we worship him, you know, may we really learn or see what it means to be built into a corporate priesthood, you know, as the dwelling place of God,
so
that God will really find, you know, his rest and his heart's desire.
Amen.
Our heart's desire. Well, this is what pleases him.
Amen.
Will be fulfilled in us.
Amen.
Amen.
Anybody else want to share?
Amen. Praise the Lord for the dwelling place. Huh? And I appreciate this week. And the Lord speaking. We can continually be in the Lord speaking, and the Lord speaking to us. Amen. He's speaking to us, or to me, or every need.
Amen.
Amen. He's speaking us through the brothers and sisters.
Amen.
I enjoy that only in the Lord's recovery we can have this. Only and then we can learn how to serve. And then and be single for the Lord.
Amen.
And then this is how we can see the full light of the Lord. So, amen. And then this 2 Peter 1:19 says that to which you, and the prophetic word is made more firm in us, to which you do well to give heed, as a shining lamp shining in a dark place.
Amen.
And the morning star rises up in your heart. So, amen. So the morning star rises up in your heart, and we can see, we can be single for the Lord, and we can see the light.
Amen.
I was very touched by this week's message because I'm serving God. But I think that, I think first we need to realize that we live in a world, we all serve something. So actually, before we were saved, we served Satan, we served Pharaoh, we actually served ourselves. So we have our own mindset, we have our own will, but God wants to brought us outside of Egypt. And it's interesting that in Exodus 7, it says that people go so that they can serve me. In Exodus 5, it actually says that so that they can have a feast, right? So actually serving God is to have a feast. I think that to us, like when I think about service, you know, like serving a country, you are thinking that you do something and you die. But actually, I think that our concept is very different from God's concept. You know, He wants us to enjoy Him,
yeah.
to have a feast. From our point of view, it's a feast, but actually, from His point of view, that's our sacrifice to Him.
Right.
And also, He brings us to the mountain. He shows us the pattern, so He has a plan. And I think that sometimes, I would think that, you know, we all want to go to the mountain, but then we don't want to go down. So we think that, oh, we just, you know, see the revelation and then we enjoy it. But actually, God showed us the vision. He also showed us a plan that we can practice. I think that's really important. You know, He's a living God and we are living stones. We are all priests. And I was very touched by one place. It says that priests are those who serve God continually.
Amen.
So it's not like just one time, you know, we went up to the mountain and we saw the vision and that's it. It's actually that, you know, I was very touched as sister brother shared that actually we can experience Him day by day, moment by moment. I think that the continuation here, I do think that it's like, you know, He's dealing with us in all our situations, in our daily life, so that we can really be built up together.
And third portion, day six. First Peter 2:5 says, you yourself also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house into a holy priesthood,
right,
to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And the nourishment says, a priest is one who serves God by enjoying God in Christ. God's intention is that all His people enjoy Him as priests. God's original intention was to present Himself as the tree of life to be enjoyed by man, and those who enjoy God the most are priests. Another portion here says, the result of the priestly life depicted in Exodus 29 is that God comes to meet with us, eat with us, speak with us, and dwell among us.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, saints. What a wonderful, I like what Brother Kyle said, what a wonderful recap of a lot of messages that we've already covered the last 38 weeks or so. It's been really, it's really good, but also very enlightening. And I think it's really good to see it all kind of come together in one outline. It's kind of like when you read the Bible slow, you get a lot, but it's more on the fine nuances of maybe verses and things like that. But when you read it, it's kind of in a faster pace. You're able to kind of see a more bird's eye view. And you're able to kind of clearly see different aspects of kind of when you're reading the Bible. And so I think this week was really, that's kind of what the burden was and kind of what happened. And something that I find really crucial in this message is really seeing how to serve, and the way that we see this is by having a revelation, and this revelation is by seeing God's pattern. So a lot of the saints shared, a lot of times we want to serve in our own way, and it's very tempting, especially when you want to gain your friends, you want to gain people to come to church, and you want to fill the seats in, right? You want to fill up, you want to grow your church, right? This is something that God wants. God does want more believers.
Amen.
But God doesn't want it in a way of compromise.
And a lot of times as Christians, it's very easy to be willing to compromise. And that's what Pharaoh wanted, right? Oh, just come on here. You can worship here. What's wrong with worshiping here? You can worship God here. Why not? Why not worship God in this way? And sadly to say, much of Christianity today is full of compromise. It's really started with Constantine. Constantine brought in lots and lots of compromise. You can do your own research. It's not my burden today to talk about all the things that Constantine brought into the church. But a lot of dark things came in through Constantine. And a lot of Christians today hold these things to their Christian faith. If you don't do certain things of what Constantine brought into the church, you're probably not even considered Christian to some. But actually, if you look into it, this is not according to God's pattern. You know, this is what God does not want us to worship in a way of compromise. God does not want us to worship in our own ways. But God wants us to really come to His Word and spend time with Him, and then we'll realize how to worship God. And I think a lot of us also may not have the realization that we're priests. Hallelujah. Wallah, you're a priest. Do you know that? You don't have a backwards collar, right, in that little thing, but you're still a priest. Exactly. You don't need one. Exactly. Praise the Lord. So we're all priests, and priests are ones that serve the Lord. And a lot of times, when we first become saved, you know, it's so, our natural reaction is like, I got saved, I got to serve God. He died for me. He shed His blood for me. He did all these things for me. I think our sister shared, right? This is kind of what we want. We feel like God did so much for me. I got to do something for Him. But you know what God wants? God wants us just to feast with Him, spend time with Him. That is why God died for you. That's why He brought you out of Egypt, right? There's the aspect of separation, right? He separated us. But He didn't separate us just so you can go back and enjoy all the worldly things in Egypt. He separated us so He could spend time with us. He wants to just sit in His presence and look at Brian. Brian, spend time with me.
Amen.
Spend time with me.
Amen.
That's what He wants, right? God wants to do this with us. But so many times, like our sister shared, our iPhone, right? I'm really guilty, so I can't read my Bible in the morning on my iPhone because, like, I got, like, Apple News coming, you know, all these things, something happened, yada, yada. But it really distracts us. And then we realize we're serving through our day, we're serving so many things. But I was thinking a lot of times, really, this is my experience. You know, we serve, and we do see God's pattern. We were brought up to this high mountain, right? We saw a vision, the Lord. We come down. But a lot of times, we have to admit, right? I'll be the first to admit that. We get distracted. But this is why we need to keep spending time with the Lord. You know, we serve in a certain way, and then we kind of go over this way. And then we spend time with the Lord, and the Lord's like, what are you doing? And He draws us back, you know? We need to keep being drawn back to this one way and one pattern that the Lord has shown us in the Bible. Because if we don't, if we just go on, we see the pattern, we're yada yada, we're great, and then we just go serve and just don't spend time with the Lord again, guess what? I guarantee you, 15, 20 years, you'll be way out in left field. Okay, that's left field over here. But you'll just be so far away from what God has really spoken of in the Bible. So this is why it's so important that we need to spend time with the Lord. Spend time with the Lord in the morning. Spend time with the Lord when you're at school, when you're studying, when you're working, at night, whenever you have the opportunity. You know, we all have busy schedules, and we do realize it's hard to spend time with the Lord. But the Lord just wants a little bit here and there throughout our day. And then we'll be able to be ones that are truly serving God, right? So we really want to serve God in the way that it was presented here. And a good way to know if you're serving God is actually this Roman numeral. Which one was it? It was Roman numeral 6. The basis of our service is God as fire from heaven. I know a lot. When I'm serving, quote, unquote, God, I get burnt out. I'm so tired. It's because I'm doing it in myself, all my self-effort, you know, trying to go, go, go. I want to contact people, preach the gospel, do this, do that. But a lot of times when we're serving in ourself, we get burnt out. But when we have the supply from the Lord, it doesn't even seem like we're serving. We're just enjoying. You know, it just we're just doing things. We're spending time with the saints, and the next thing you know, your whole week went by. You're like, what happened? Yeah, maybe you're physically tired, but that's not the same as being burnt out. You're going to be physically tired. We're all human beings. We all need X amount of sleep, and we all need to, you know, close your eyes and yada yada. But really, being burnt out is in your soul. You just feel, oh, this was a tough week, but I was serving God. I was going to church. I was going to, you know, Friday night meeting. I went Sunday worship. You know, I did this, but I'm burnt out. I'm not satisfied in my being.
Right.
It's because that fire was just your own fire. It wasn't the fire that it was. That fire was consuming the bush. But the fire here is not consuming the bush. It just sat upon it. And this is who we are. We're just the bush. And God needs to just come. And not, he's not consuming us, but he's energizing us. And this is the spirit. And we need to serve God, like our sister said, right? Serve God in spirit and truthfulness.
Amen.
This is how to serve God. So a good way to check is if you feel burnt out at the end of the week. If you don't feel burnt out, it's probably a pretty good sign that you are serving in your spirit. You're allowing God to be this divine power in you to be able to serve God. And ultimately, right at the very end of this whole outline, we see the whole goal of God's salvation is for God's building.
Amen.
God wants a dwelling place.
Yes.
And this is a corporate priesthood. So we can't, Wally's not the only priest here today. Right? Brian's a priest. John's a priest. My wife's a priest. I'm a priest. We're all priests.
Amen.
But he wants a corporate priesthood.
Right.
And the way that we have gained this corporate priesthood is by serving the Spirit together and spending time with the Lord.
Amen.
When we spend time with the Lord, we're able to be this dwelling place. We're able, and our brother shared, I think, something about the priests become the building material. Each person, right? Would you
something? Yes, the priests are the building.
Are the building material, right? So each one of us are the building material of this of God's house. So this is really the goal of God's salvation. It wasn't just to save us. It wasn't just to bring us out of Egypt. If that was it, then we're done. But actually, the purpose of salvation is for God's building. And if you're in, and we're in our home meeting in Romans, right? We're going through this process. We're seeing that why we're getting saved. You know, this last week we got into daily salvation. And so there's a process going on. And this is what ultimately is on God's heart.
Amen.
So if we continue to serve in this way, we'll be ones that are faithful and seeing this pattern that God presents to us in the Word, that really Christ just wants Christ in the church.
Amen.
And this is really what we want to see.
Amen.
So praise the Lord for this week. I'm excited to continue to go on. What's next week? I haven't even what? The tabernacle? The three tabernacles. Okay, amen. Hallelujah. So I'm excited. I think I even saw a chart, right? Yeah. Amen. We're gonna probably go through a little journey here. Amen. So praise the Lord. May we continue to serve with a vision and with this pattern.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for your calling.
Amen.
To be a kingdom of priests.
Amen.
Thank you for saving us.
Amen.
Bring us out of Egypt.
Amen.
So we could hold a feast unto you.
Amen.
Sacrifice to you.
Amen.
Lord, give this week to you.
Amen.
We'd like to find many more opportunities.
Amen.
Lord, to spend time with you.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for your calling.
Amen.
To serve you.
Yes.
And
right.
Worship you.
Amen.
And this coming week.
Yes.
Lord, to hold a feast on you.
Amen.
And sacrifice for you.
Amen.
Thank you for your calling, Lord.
Amen.
All the opportunities.
Amen.
Lord, may we see you, Lord, face to face.
Amen.
We love you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, thank you for every opportunity.
Amen.
Serving whatever we do.
Amen.
Lord, grant us such experiences.
Amen.
Thank you for a new week.
Amen.
We enter into this.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Yes, thank you for a new week.
Amen.
A new week to worship you.
Amen.
Oh, to serve you.
Amen.
By feasting upon you.
Amen.
Feasting to you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, grant us the time to spend with you.
Amen.
Remind us.
Yes.
Speak to us.
Amen.
Or we even listen to the inner speaking within us.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Lord.
The flyers are here.
Amen.
We have more. It runs out.
Do you have time to eat?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh.